Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
There came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came at where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Amen. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Let us pray today. Almost kind and gracious Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your presence here tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, just for joining us here in worship, Lord. And Father God, as we approach your word here today, Lord, Father God, we ask and pray that you will open up hearts and minds inside this place, that God, to let us decrease, Lord, and God, you give the increase here tonight, Lord. Father God, let us gladly receive your word in the name of Jesus. And amen, you can be seated. Well, I was reading this story, and I've read it so many times about the Good Samaritan. And I know I've preached this before, and I've heard it preached so much, but I had an interesting experience this week. And this whole week, man, it's just been wild, but God has been speaking to me about something going on. And so tonight, I felt like this is where God has led me, and I want you to really listen tonight, because I feel like God is wanting to speak to somebody in here, amen? But we find here in Luke chapter 10, as Jesus is telling this story, if we back up and we look, Jesus had just sent out his own 12 in Luke chapter 9. He sent out his own 12, and he told them, you're going to have power over devils. You're going to have power to cast out all manner of sickness. You're going to have great power, and people are going to see that, and they're going to rejoice in God because of it. We see that in chapter 9, we also had the transfiguration of Christ. So once again, a great work has happened, and Jesus shows himself of who he actually is. Amen. And then we find here in the beginning of chapter 10, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent out 70 more disciples, not those 12, not his close 12, but 70 other ones, and he gave them that same power. And they come back and they said, Jesus, you won't believe what happened. And Jesus said, well, tell me about it. Amen. Of course he knew, but they began to tell him about it, and Jesus said, hey, kings and prophets and priests, they've loved to see what you're seeing, and they've heard about it, but they ain't even seen what you're seeing. So rejoice, not that you can do all these things to the devil, but that your name's recorded in the book of life. Amen. And thank God. So all these great things are happening, and Jesus turns to his 12, and he begins to speak more intimately to him, and he begins to thank God for what God is doing in them. And right in the midst of all this, somebody stands up and decides to ask Jesus a question. And you know what I was thinking about? Not everybody's happy that God's moving. Not everybody's happy to see you being blessed. Not everybody's happy that God is moving in your life. Amen. And I believe this man stood up. He's seen all the great things going on, and he said, well, I've got a question, Lord. How do I get to heaven? And he said, well, you read the book, you tell me. What does the scripture say? And they began to have a little back and forth. And he said, well, Lord, who is my neighbor? If I got to be good to my neighbor, who is my neighbor? So Jesus began to tell them this Good Samaritan story that we read about who is neighbor. Amen. So I was reading this, and I got to thinking about a few things about this story. And to begin with, it said that Jesus, answering him, said that there was a certain man that went down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And you know, what's funny about that is that everywhere else, Jesus generally names people. He generally gives something about them. But in this instance, we have a certain man. Now, I don't know his name, Mr. Certain Man, Mr. Dusty Rhodes, whatever his name may be, but what I can tell you about him is this. It can be any one of us at any time, any certain day of the week, any certain man or woman in here, we can all be on that road. I believe Jesus left it vague for a reason, and that reason is because it's no accident sometimes for us to end up on the wrong road. You ever made a choice and put yourself on the wrong road? Amen. Thank God. Now, I want you to consider this. Sometimes I'm driving along and, man, I'll get something on the radio that's really good, or I'm on conversation real deep with somebody, and I will drive 5 miles past where I'm going. But you know what I've never done? I've never walked 5 miles past where I'm going. Amen. Amen. A few years ago, my mom and dad, they went out west, and that's where Damon and them are. But they were so excited, first time out there, they was going to Yellowstone, and they my dad's funny, he don't like using GPS, he likes atlases, different generation. But they were so excited about going out there that they loaded everything up and they took off. And a few hours, 5-6 hours later, my dad calls me and he says, "We're at Virginia Beach." That's geographically impossible if you're going out west. And he said, "We were so excited, we forgot to look at where we was going. We just took off." It's possible that sometimes that we're so involved in something that we wind up on the wrong road. But more times than not, we choose to get on the wrong road, even though there's all kinds of blocks along the way that's saying, "Don't go down this road. Stop right. This ain't a good road for you to go down. I need you to put it in reverse, back up, U-turn, whatever it takes, and change direction." Now, this man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. History tells us that this is a 17-mile road. I ain't never took a 17-mile walk on accident. Amen. They meant to be on this road. This man meant to be on this road. History also tells us that it was a dangerous road. It dropped 3,600 feet over these 17 miles. And so therefore it was steep, it was treacherous, it was rocky. It gave a perfect place for thieves and robbers to hide along the way. And thank God, let me tell you something. If you've ever been on a road like that, then you know it's no accident that you're on that road. This man decided to go on the road that maybe God didn't want him to go on. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this today. We bought goats a few years ago, and we had a nice place fenced in for them, and they had all the grass they wanted. They had a pond to drink out of, and they had more than enough room for these two goats to stay right there. But do you know that the goats didn't want the grass that was inside that fence? The only grass they wanted was the grass outside of that fence. And how often are we like that with God? God provides everything that we would ever need. He keeps us pastured in. He said, "I'll protect you. I'll feed you. I'll give you something to drink. I'll make sure that you are never in want. But all we want is what's on the other." I believe this man had everything he wanted in Jerusalem, but he looked towards Jericho and he said, "You know, it ain't that bad of a walk. Maybe Jericho holds something for me that Jerusalem don't have. Maybe there's something down there." But I'm here to tell you, if you're on that road right now, everything you need, everything you want, your Father has for you in the house of God. I believe Jericho Road is any road that we get on that robs us. I've been on some roads that robbed me of dignity. Woo. I've been on some roads that, man, it robbed me of love. I've been on some roads that really hurt me. And the worst part about it is I chose to be on that road. despite every block that God put in my way, despite every reason that God gave me to turn around, I said, God, don't worry. I know what I'm doing. You ever been there? Said, God, I know what I'm doing. You know what the funny thing about it is? Even though I know the outcome of the road, some people have been on the road, they get off that road, get back with God, and they think that they can take the road with different results this time. Ain't that insanity? Literally the definition of it? Doing the same thing over and over and praying for and hoping for a different result. I believe that some of us can get on that road and we look at it and we say, God, save us off this road. And God, in all of his mercy and all of his grace, he will pick us and he will take us back from the wrong road that we have wound up on. And we still find a way, just like the goat does, to get over the fence again and go down that road. And God once again comes back. As the Bible said, he leaves the 99. He doesn't want us to be there, and he gladly will come get us. And I believe that road looks different for everyone, but the results are always the same. Amen. I think that as I was thinking about this story, it's funny. Something else about this is that God or Jesus, when he was telling this story about how the man fell among the thieves, I believe that sometimes we think that there's a place we can get from God that is too far gone. That there's a place where God can no longer reach us. There's a place where we can, and it may not be in the church, but I know I've been in a place on a road before that I thought, God, I've went too far down this road. God, this road has led me in paths that I know you wasn't in, but now I'm too far to find my way back to where you had me at. And God, in all of his mercy and all of his grace, will still come and get us. Amen? Amen. Bible says that where can I go? As David said, where can I go to escape your presence, Lord? If I ascend unto high, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. There's nowhere on the face of the earth that we can go that God cannot get us from. We find that there's a priest and a Levite in this story. And they look upon the man that's laying there and he's half dead. And they begin to just pass by. And I thought about how religion oftentimes will scold us and say, and how many times, you shouldn't have been on that road to begin with, boy. Amen. You shouldn't have been there to begin with. And I believe that legalism, that it'll tell us, well, I'll tell you what, as soon as you get cleaned up, you come back to the house of God, and then you can get on the right path along the way. But I don't know what religion says or what legalism in your life says, but let me tell you what Jesus says. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't matter how far you're on the road, don't matter how deep on the road that you are, Jesus said, I will give you rest. He didn't put any strings attached with it. No matter where we are on the road, Jesus can bring us back along the way. Amen. There's nowhere that we can go that we are too far from God's presence. You know what Jerusalem is for me? When I left Jerusalem, you know what I left behind? I left behind the church. You know what the biggest mistake we make? As soon as we get aggravated, as soon as we get upset, the first thing that we cut out is the fellowship of God. It's the easiest thing, right? Works hard. I ain't going to church tonight. This right here is my strength. This is everything right here inside this place. You see, this worship that we're doing right here, this isn't for the battle. No, this is to get strength for the battle, because my battlefield is right outside them doors right there. I worship in here so I can be big and strong when I go out there. Now, I may not look big and strong, but boy, in the spirit, I promise you I can whoop a devil or two. Amen? Thank God today. Hey, let me tell you, what you do in here amongst your brethren strengthens you for the battlefield. That's where the temple, when we walk away from our Jerusalem, when we walk away from the church, when we walk away from these things, when we walk away from worship, whenever we get on the wrong road, man, you know what the worst part is when a really good service is going on and they're up there playing really good music and we're on the wrong road and we gotta sit there in our own condemnation. Like this. People are shouting, jumping, running, and you want to be part of that. and the only person that holds you back is yourself. You know what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to throw up your hands. He wants you to shout. He wants you to praise your way out the valley. He wants you to get off that road and think of when one comes back who was lost, it said the angels in heaven rejoice. They don't scold. They don't get mad at him. Jerusalem, this place, this road that you're on is where safety is. There's safety in the house of God. There's safety under whose wing I've come to trust. Amen. There is safety in the presence of God. There's safety there. You know, I was thinking about Jericho in Joshua 6 and 20. Joshua puts a curse, or God puts a curse on the city of Jericho whenever he rebuilds it. He said, cursed be the man that rebuilds that city. It was a place of idols. It wasn't a good place. And God put a curse on that. We find that that curse is fulfilled when King Ahab rebuilt the city of Jericho. He paid the price of both of his sons in order to rebuild that place. You see, there are roads that we get on that we know is a place of idols. We know it's a place of destruction. We know that safety is here. We know that worship is here. We know that everything we need is right here. Yet we still make a choice to get on a destructive path and a destructive road. And we think that just because that we've wound up on it, whether or not it was by our own decision or not, that if you've wound up on the road, we're too afraid to turn around and get back. But there is nothing better tonight that you can do. It just change paths. Get off the road you're on and get back to Jerusalem. Get back to the church. Get back to worship. Get back to safety. Leave that behind and come back. I don't know how long it takes. I don't know how many miles this man walked. But I promise you this, every one of those roads end the same way. Some it takes months, some it takes years, some it takes days. But every road on the wrong path, and you know that path, will lead you to the same place. And it's death and it's destruction. See, the Bible says that the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. If you think he's happy with part of you, then you don't know who he is. He's not happy. I've got his worship. I'm going to leave him alone now. No. I've got his church attendance. I'm going to leave him alone now. No. He wants to ultimately destroy you and who you are. He wants to snuff you out, kill you, take everything from you. He's not satisfied until the job's done. Amen. And thank God, if we're on that road tonight, there is a place we can turn to and we can get back to the Father's house. No matter how far you are on that road, you can come back. I want to read this one more time, verse 30. I love these words. It says that the thieves stripped him of his raiment. They wounded him and departed, and leaving him half dead. Half dead. See, a lot of people thought AMC had the walking dead, but the church has the half dead. Amen. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the beauty of being half dead is that you're half alive. Half dead is not dead. Half dead means that there's still life in them. If the Samaritan found him half dead, he was able to get him back up and nurse him back to health. If he'd have found him dead, then there's nothing that we could have done. See, what the thief's goal is to leave you half dead, let everybody else run by you, and thank God eventually you will just fall out on your own. But if you come in here tonight half dead, there is part of you that is alive, and that's the part Jesus is speaking to tonight. Half dead, it means half alive tonight. Half dead, half alive, whatever you want to call it, there was still life in that boy laying there on that road. And I'm telling you, no matter how far you're down that road, if there is life there, then Jesus can salvage the brokenness is there. Jesus can take the parts that are messed up, and man, he can turn it around and he can make something out of it. That man was half dead, but God said, watch what I do with just a little bit. It wasn't but a boy's lunch that he fed 5,000. Imagine what he could do with a half-dead person. Thank God today. Woo. Listen, he said whenever he left this man there at the inn, it said that he told the keeper, whatever the cost, when I come back through, I'm going to pay it off. Whatever it costs, you take care of him, and I'll pay whatever it costs. Just make sure he gets back to health. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was willing to pay whatever it cost. Whatever it cost to make sure me and you were able to be restored. He was willing to pay whatever it cost to make sure that he found us half dead. I'm not going to leave him half dead. I'm going to make sure that the way I found him, I'm going to make him better today. It's not that he didn't love you that way. It's that he loved you so much he didn't leave you there. Amen. He was willing to pay the ultimate price to make sure that we got back. Boy, I tell you, Wednesdays and Sundays, if you got kids, maybe if you don't even have kids, I don't know why those days are so hard to get ready for church. We get in the worst fights in my house on Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen? I got the worst days at work on Wednesdays. Sundays are always hard for some reason. Amen. We even started church late here, and there's still some times that I'm making it by the hair of my teeth to get here. You know what I believe? Sometimes we come inside this, but that's why Wednesday's so important. The world isn't going to be easy on you. Nothing out. This world was geared against you. It's geared against you. So some of us come in here, we put a fake smile on, and we're just here. We don't want to worship. I just want to be here. That's all right. That's all right. Jesus wants you too. Some of us come in here and we battle through and we go ahead and praise. That's all right. Jesus wants you to. The point is this. You may have drug in here. Somebody may have drug you in here. But if you're in here, that means you got life in you. And there is hope in you. And Jesus can take whatever mess that you have found yourself in and make something beautiful out of it. Amen. He can take whatever place that you're in and do something amazing. As they come and get us a song this evening. I told you earlier, I had something happen this week that was really interesting. I guess it was last week, the end of last week. I woke up that morning with something to do, and I knew it was a long way to get there, about 2.5 hours or so. And that morning I woke up, and it was just as plain as day. God said, don't do that today. And I got up and I got ready and I thought, no, I've got to get this done. I'm doing it today. And I got in my vehicle and I took off. And I got, 30 minutes down the road, and God said, not today. Don't do this today. It's the wrong road for you to be on. But I said, Lord, I got to get this done. I got something to do, so I keep driving. An hour down the road, and God's still telling me, I'm listening to preaching. I'm listening to Christian music. I was sitting there worshiping. God, what in the world am I doing? Why are you telling me I can't do this? I'm doing everything right over here. But God kept saying, I don't care. You're not on the right road. You can be listening to preaching, you can be listening to singing, and you can still be on the wrong road. Hour and a half goes by, and God tells me again, turn around. I said, no, I know what I'm doing. 2 hours go by. I'm almost there. God tells me again, turn around. You turn. This ain't worth it. You're in the wrong place. This ain't where you need to be. And somebody sent me something different. It wasn't preaching. It wasn't even a song. It was just something different. And I played it. And I don't know what it was about that. I started crying so hard, I had to pull off the road. I was afraid I was going to crash the vehicle. And I pulled off the road. And I said, God, I'm 15 minutes away from this. And he said, but I said, turn around 2 hours ago. I told you to turn around 2 hours. You wasted the time, not me. I told you that morning to turn around. And at 2 hours and 15 minutes, 15 minutes away from my destination, I U-turned. And I was thinking, man, Thomas, you wasted 4 hours. You know what? It's a lot better than wasting an eternity. It's a lot better than wasting your life. It's a lot better than wasting so much more. I don't know what God was keeping me from. I don't know what was there. I don't know. But I'm telling you this. The Bible says that his sheep know his voice. I can't tell you what that is, but I know it whenever I hear it. I know it whenever I can feel it deep down within, and I believe that God is telling somebody, you're on the wrong road, son. I know you look the part. I know you're doing things, but you're still on the wrong road. Let's turn this ship around. Let's get on the right path. There is more things back that way for you. They're on a road to destruction, and many have been on it, and many in the same way. But there's hope tonight. There's hope tonight. You can U-turn. You can turn it around. You can come back. You don't have to continue down the road. Even if you're half dead, God can bring you back to life. You're in a good place tonight. Amen. Thank God today. If you will, stand to your feet. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know anybody's life. I know my own. And I know that sometimes the Spirit of God speaks to me so strongly and I can still ignore it. And maybe the Spirit of God speaking to you tonight. I don't know. But if you're on the wrong path, if you're down the wrong road, if you've made a bad turn somewhere, it's not too late to get back on the road. It's not too late to turn it around. It's not too late. Make the U-turn. Do whatever it takes. I don't care. If I got to jump over pews, if I got to cross lanes, whatever I got to do, if I just want to get back to the Father's presence, I want to get back to the place where I am protected inside God's blood, inside that place. That's where I want to be. And whatever it takes, get there. Get there. Get back to the Father. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. As they sing, if you need to pray, this altar is open. If you need prayer, there's some great men of God up here that would love to pray for you. Wherever you are on this road, on the right road, wrong road, you can come and thank God you are always welcome in the Father's house. Wonder how many times the prodigal probably thought, turn around. Turn around, turn around. Wonder how many times that the road, that road to Jericho calls out to you. Wonder how many times that the prodigal, that back there at the pig pen, it was still calling out, come back to the pig. It'll be different this time. If you come back, you remember how good it was? No, it was never good. But the road still calls out and we still answer. As they sing, if you need to pray, this altar's open. Road, on the right road, wrong road, you can come and thank God you are always welcome in the Father's house. Wonder how many times the prodigal probably thought, turn around, turn around, turn around. Wonder how many times that the road, that road to Jericho calls out to you. Wonder how many times that the prodigal, that back there at the pig pen, it was still calling out, come back to the pig. It'll be different this time. If you come back, you remember how good it was? No, it was never good. But the road still calls out and we still answer. As they sing, if you need to pray, this altar's open.